Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our evening service on this last Sunday of the month. Welcome to our Evangelize Outreach Service. It's good to see you along. It's about your presence, and it's about the Lord's presence as we meet together in His house. And it's about presenting and promoting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through our praise and through our preaching on these special services each last Sunday of the month. And we're going to open our service and praise the Lord in the words of a great hymn of the gospel. It's number 960. If you're using the books, or I trust it will appear in our screens. And it's a great hymn of personal testimony about the Lord Jesus, about the gospel, about the mercy and the grace of God by which alone we are saved through the work of Calvary. So let's stand and enjoy singing it, enjoy the words, and sing them with all our hearts to God's glory. 967. These last Sunday evening services are also about participation, and it's good when some of you in the congregation participate and contribute to the service. And Rodney Miller is going to open our evening worship now in prayer. Rodney, thank you.
Let us all pray. Lord, we thank you for bringing you back into your house again this evening hour. We thank you for the freedom that we have to come and worship you. Lord, we pray for the service tonight. We commit the service to you, Lord. We pray for all those who will take part. We pray for your speaker tonight, Lord. We pray that you be with him, Lord, and the word that you've left upon his heart to share with us. Lord, we pray for those who are in our gallery and are without you. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just pray that barriers will be brought down and hearts will be opened and receptive to your word. We just pray all these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Rodney. And let's continue now in a short time of praise together, remaining seated. And I want to pick up on that word grace, wonderful grace. And it was mentioned in our opening praise and a short selection of pieces that continue in that theme. Grace. Grace, what is grace? It's God's favour. It's more than that. It's God's unmerited favour to us. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We can't pay it. We have no righteousness of our own. But in grace, the Lord has dealt with us through His Son, the Lord Jesus, and offered us salvation. So it's a wonderful theme to use for a short time of praise this evening. And we're starting with number 966, please. 966, just singing the first verse with the little chorus bit. And it opens up with those very words, wonderful grace, that gives what I don't deserve, pays me what Christ has earned, then lets me go free. Just that first verse with the chorus, 966. Please, 346. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. We're going to sing verse 1, please, and verse 3, which reminds us rightly about the cross. And then the last two verses, so it's 1 and 3 and 6 and 7 this evening. Let's try a verse, a couple of verses from 1094, please. 1094. It's a more modern hymn that we've learned and enjoy singing together. It starts off, "Men of faith, rise up and sing." It's a hymn of proclamation, proclaiming the gospel. "Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Saviour to all, Lord of heaven and earth." Tonight we're going to sing that first verse with the chorus, "Shout to the North," and then verse 3 with the chorus, "Shout to the North." So we'll sing it that way this evening, please. Trust that's possible on the screens, because verse 3 mentions that word grace, that it's grace that lifts us up and helps us to fly again in the Lord's name. Verse 1 with chorus and verse 3 with chorus of 1094. And can we try again together this evening another new one? And we haven't sung it for quite some time, but it fits with this theme of grace. And it's called Outrageous Grace. We've already sung one called Wonderful Grace. This one is called Outrageous Grace because it is so wonderful and so amazing. And that one yet remains to be sung. But you'll see it there appearing on screen. There's a lot of pain, but a lot more healing. There's a lot of trouble, but a lot more peace. There's a lot of hate, but a lot more loving. There's a lot of sin, but a lot more grace. The answer for sin. And then it goes into the chorus, "Oh, outrageous grace." So tonight we're going to sing, as it is in the book, if you're following there. It's 1114. It's that first verse with the chorus, and then the second verse with the chorus. That's what we'll sing tonight. If it's new to you, I trust you'll enjoy it, learning it and singing it for a first time tonight.
What a lot of more life, oh, life.
it's outrageous, it's wonderful, it's all the things we've sung about. And as a final piece in this selection of praise, let's go to number 31, because it is Amazing Grace, absolutely amazing. And we've got Newton's wonderful words, a hymn of personal testimony, what a life was his, and it was God's grace that turned it around and allowed him to come from a foul mouth and bad living slave trader, as he was, to become a child of God and pen these wonderful and much loved words. Let's stand and sing them as a second hymn this evening, standing to sing number 31, the four well known and well loved verses of Amazing Grace.
I'm so glad when you ask someone to take part in a service like that or like this, that they are so willing to do so. Thank Rodney for opening in prayer, but Stephen McCarroll is going to come and just read a passage of Scripture. I just said to Stephen, just whatever the Lord lays in your heart, just read. And so thank you for that.
I'm reading from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 48 to 58. Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honour my Father, and you dishonour me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honour myself, my honour is nothing. It is my Father who honours me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say, I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. And your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
Thank you, Stephen. And a very warm welcome to you all tonight to this outreach. service, and please don't be rushing away. Come and have a cup of tea and a biscuit here before you go home. And we're very glad to welcome to our service tonight Mr. Nelson McCausland, MLA. Nigel is the Minister for Social Development, and we're very glad to have him along tonight. And when I booked him for this service, I should have asked him to sing as well. He's a very accomplished soloist. He's very, very good on the organ as well. And we're so glad to have you along, Nelson, and trust that you'll know the Lord's blessing with us tonight. Now, just the announcements for this incoming week. It's our conversational Bible study on Tuesday night, and it's lesson number 2 in our study booklet, Following Jesus. And so, well, these are profitable times. Folk enjoy them who come along, and if you haven't been before, then come along and see what it's about. Wednesday at 6:30 is our kids club, and then the men's fellowship on Thursday night. And it's a small world, but it's our trip to Stormont. Your job is safe, you're all right. Our host is David McElveen, and so we look forward to that. And men, if you're going, will you please put your name down on the sheet? There's nearly 20 men now going to Stormont, and I hope to book a minibus in the morning for that so we can travel all together. And so we look forward to that. That's on Thursday night. So please be here to depart at 6:30 to get there for about 7:15 or so. So that's Thursday night. The young women's group is on Friday night at 7:30 at Rhoda Thompson's house there in the Rosses. Next Sunday then, the first Sunday of the month, we begin with a time of prayer here at 9:00, and then our Sunday school and Bible class at 10:15. Our morning service 11:30, and it'll be the annual visit of our good friend Pastor Billy Kennedy. Billy will be coming to preach the word, and then believers will meet around the Lord's table to remember the Lord after the morning service. Our time of prayer at 6:10 before the evening service at 6:30, when IDV will be the speaker. Now have a look on the vegetable notice board, on the vegetable table. There's a lot of literature, forthcoming events that you might be interested in and going along to, that's in other churches. And so please have a look at those things. These are all the announcements, and we'll now bring our offerings to the Lord. Thank you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you indeed for grace. We've been reminded tonight of wonderful grace, outrageous grace, amazing grace. Thank you for those who have experienced that grace in their hearts and lives. They know saving grace. They know sustaining grace. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless your word that will be preached by your servant tonight. We pray indeed that we shall know your blessing in our midst. Not only for ourselves, Lord, but wherever the gospel is preached tonight and many will hear it, we pray indeed there will be rejoicing in heaven over sinners that come to repentance. Lord, we thank you indeed for this great message that we have, this great message of hope and blessing. O God, what is there in anything else? There is no assurance. There is no hope. But we thank you for the gospel. And so bless us tonight, and we thank you that we are hearers of it tonight. So be with us now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now we're going to stand and sing another hymn that's not in the book, but we know it well. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day. A lovely hymn that centres our thoughts around the cross. And then Nelson will take the rest of the service. Let's stand for this lovely piece.
It's very nice to be with you for the service this evening, and I want to thank Raymond for the invitation to come. Could we read a few verses from the book of Acts chapter 16 and from verse 25. Acts 16 and verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Amen. I was born and brought up in North Belfast in the Ballysillan area back in the 1950s, and when I was growing up there, week by week, my parents took me along every Sunday to the local Methodist church, and also took me and then sent me along every week to the Sunday school. And that was very much my life growing up through those years. Much of my life outside school and outside home was focused on the activities in the church, the Christian endeavor, and so on. And time and again, I would have heard the gospel, and time and again I would have listened to it, whether it be there or in other places. Quite often on a Saturday night, in those days my parents used to take us down to Bangor, to the seafront, and you got fish and chips there on the seafront, and there you always had an open air. With the Brethren had an open air, and then the Salvation had an open air. So you got two open airs and a fish supper on a Saturday night. And so I would have heard the gospel many times, and attended the Sunday school and the Bible class, and I enjoyed them. And in that church, when you came to the age of about 16, you went to what was called a preparation class. And in the preparation class, when you attended that, you went through the catechism and so on, heard about a little bit of Methodist history and so on. You were taught all these different things, and then at the end of it, all of the young folk who were around the same age generally went forward and became church members. And I've been through the class. I knew the catechism off almost word perfect. But I was troubled about something, because I was going forward to be a church member. And I knew in my heart that there were things that were wrong and that I wasn't right with God. I had heard the gospel many, many times, but it had never yet sunk in. And there are people I know who have heard the gospel for 40, 50 years, time and time again, week after week, and it still hasn't sunk in. But that was certainly the case with me in those days. I still thought that somehow it was something that I had to do to put things right. I knew that there were things I was doing that were wrong. Thoughts I was thinking, things I was doing, and they were wrong. I knew there was a problem with sin. But I was still convinced that through effort, through trying, you could put it right. The truth is, sin has such a hold on us that we can never break free ourselves. Jesus Christ alone can set us free. I hadn't quite grasped that. I knew that Jesus had died for me. I knew he loved me. But I hadn't grasped the essential core element of faith, simple faith in him, to put right the problem of sin in my life. And so, troubled about it, I went along and spoke to the minister in the church. And I said, "Look, I'm going forward to be a church member, but I'm not a Christian. I'm still not right with God. And that night, there was one verse of Scripture that finally captured my heart. And it was the last verse that we read together, Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It isn't personal effort. It's not what we do. Because He has done it all. And a hymn that says, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I realized that my part is simply to believe and to receive. As it says in John's Gospel, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And that night, I repented of my sin. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I realized I couldn't do it myself. I was totally and utterly dependent upon Him. But I believed with all my heart that He could do it for me. He could save me. And that night I received Him as my Lord and Savior. It's not having your name on a church membership list that matters. The only list that really matters, the only role that really matters, is what the Bible speaks about as the Lamb's Book of Life, which has recorded in it all those who have trusted in the Savior. There are many folk who have their names on church rolls all over the place. I could have had mine on a church roll, but I wouldn't have been in the Lamb's Book of Life. At the end of the day, that's all that really matters. I trusted in the Lord that night, and the Lord was good. But whilst the Lord is faithful, we're not always faithful. And in the years that followed, there was a period where I drifted away from the Lord. Went off to university. I drifted away from the Lord at that time. And it was only when I came back again home that I really came back to the Lord. I met my wife about that time, and she'd become a Christian, actually, not in a church setting, but in a day school setting. She had a very godly Christian primary school teacher who used to witness to the children in her class. And it was one of those cereals that we use in children's meetings in Sunday school. Whiter, I think it's Whiter Than the Snow Is, or The Treasures of the Snow, that's it. Treasures of the Snow, the little story there for the children. And the teacher there used that with the children in day school, and through that, she came to know the Savior when she was, I think it was about 11. And through friends that she had, Christian friends, and through their influence, I came back to the Lord at that time. The Lord has been good since then down through the years. And I thank Him tonight that He has that power to save and a power to keep. He's a wonderful Savior. And I would certainly commend Him to you tonight. He's kept me down through the years. I spent about 10 years as a school teacher in Belfast, and that was in the 70s during the Troubles, and it was in the Shankill Road area, and it was as much an education for me as it was for the children. But after that, I spent about 10 years working in Christian work and then into community work and more recently into politics. And God has been good down through the years. Whatever the circumstances of life that we're in, whether it be in full-time Christian work, whether it be in secular employment, whatever that might be, if we know and love the Lord as our Savior, He's with us there every step of the way. And God gives us opportunities. There are challenges, yes, but opportunities too, to share the gospel with others and to witness for Him. With the people we meet day by day, because there are folk that you meet in the place where you work, or in the circles that you mix in that I'll never meet. There are people that I meet in the areas that I work in that you'll probably never meet. But wherever we are, let's be faithful in doing what we can for Him. and in sharing with others the goodness of God, the love of God, and His outrageous, amazing, wonderful, redeeming grace. For it is by the grace of God, through faith in Him, that we're saved. I want to share with you tonight just some thoughts from the book of Revelation. I didn't read the passage because I just want to dip into some verses here and there in that passage. You'll be familiar with the beginning of the book of Revelation there. In chapter 1 you have the introduction. And then in chapters 2 and 3 you have the letters to the seven churches. And then in chapters 4 and 5 there's a wonderful vision that is given to John of heaven itself. It says in chapter 4 and verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." In chapters 4 and 5, there are some wonderful pictures of Jesus Christ. And I just want to pick out tonight three snapshots, if you like, of the Savior that we find here. And the first is there in chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. And there we have a song of praise unto God. It tells us in the verse before, "The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." It's a picture there of Jesus Christ as the creating Lord. Jesus Christ, the creating Lord. The world around us gives us wonderful testimony as to the greatness of our God. I was listening to someone this morning who was reporting on a visit they had made to Africa. And when he was out in Africa for a few weeks working with a missionary organization there, drilling wells for different villages and for different churches, he said that at night they slept out in the open air. And he said, as you lay down there and looked up at the sky, there was no light coming from anywhere. It was just pitch blackness all around you. And he said, because of that, when you looked up, you could see nothing but the stars. And they shone out so beautifully and so brilliantly in that situation. And it reminds me of Psalm 19 and verse 1. Psalm 19 and verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." You cannot but look at the world around us with all of its glory, its greatness, its grandeur. You can't do that without realizing how small and frail and insignificant we are. You look at all of that great creation that He has made, and that He holds in the hollow of His hand, and you have to say indeed, how great is our God. So often, we tend to make ourselves the center of everything. And everything focuses around us and revolves around us. But really, we're as nothing. He is the Almighty God, the Creator of all things. You can look up and you can see His creation. But you can even think of ourselves. Look at the human body. the years take their toll on all of us, and there's bits that aren't functioning as well as maybe the ones they did, and the eyesight's maybe not so good and all the rest. But whether you're 9 or 90, it doesn't matter what age you are. Our human bodies are a wonderful thing. What does it say there in Psalm 139 and verse 14? Does it not say there, we are fearfully and wonderfully made? We're fearfully and wonderfully made. The complexities of the human eye, the intricacies of the human mind, the brain, the complexities of every organ of our body and how they all fit together and how they all work together. And when something goes wrong and you have something, you get a cut, you get a bruise, you get broken or whatever, the way in which the body can heal itself, is it not indeed fearful and wonderful? And there's a God who made us. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 it says, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, by whom also he made the worlds. The world around us is wonderfully made. You and I are wonderfully made. And it speaks to us of Jesus Christ, the creating Lord. I don't believe that there's any conflict between the Bible and true science. I believe they match up to each other perfectly. And what God has said here of his creation, I believe it's true. And when I look at his creation, I see beyond that something even more wonderful. Because there, I see the Creator. Jesus Christ, the creating Lord. Let me point you then to chapter 5 and verse 12. Chapter 5 and verse 12. And there it says, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. If we see there Jesus Christ as the creating Lord, we see him here as the crucified Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Going back to verse 9, they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. There are many pictures in the Bible of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the picture of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God is surely one of the most beautiful and the most precious. Behold the Lamb of God. And that thought of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ, the Lamb of God, is one that runs right through the Bible. Back in the Old Testament, remember Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22, and they're going up onto the mountain. And there in Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac are going up onto the mountain. And Isaac says to Abraham, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. The story is there of how Abraham was being tested by God. And how at first he thought that his son was to be sacrificed, but then in the end, God provided a lamb for a burnt offering. But there's the first question, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And throughout the Old Testament, we see pictures again and again on the Passover night of the lamb being sacrificed and the blood being applied around the door of the house. And in the house where the blood was applied to the door, they were safe within. But without that, the firstborn son would die. And you know how in that case it was a lamb that was sacrificed for a house. And later on you see how a lamb was sacrificed in the Passover sacrifices and in the other sacrifices in the tabernacle and in the temple. But when we come to the New Testament, it's so much better. Because the sacrifice of a lamb there was not just for an individual or for a house. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. John the Baptist, you remember, pointing and explaining to his followers, "Behold the Lamb of God, taketh away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God had been prophesied in the Old Testament. And here with John the Baptist, the Lamb of God was identified. And here we see in Revelation how it was that the Lamb of God would be crucified. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 1 Peter 1 and 19. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. It wasn't the riches of this world that bought your salvation. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Jesus Christ was indeed, as you and I know, without blemish and without spot. The Bible says, in him there was no sin. It says, he did no sin. He knew no sin. In every possible way, he was perfect, sinless, and spotless, without blemish and without spot. That's why the hymn writer could say, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. There was no other person who could do it. Because Jesus Christ alone was without blemish and without spot. And there it tells us in Revelation that he has redeemed us to God by his blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. There's no discrimination. Doesn't matter whether you're black or white, young or old, whatever it is, what country it be, what climate, what continent, these things don't matter. He redeems men and women of every kindred and tongue and people and nation who will come to him in faith. And it's not only that he saves us from our sin, but look what he saves us for. He has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. What privileges he has purchased for us. It is indeed a wonderful salvation. Jesus Christ, the creating Lord. Jesus Christ, the crucified Lamb, who loved us so much that he was willing to go to that cross and suffer and bleed and die for you and for me. Without blemish, without spot. But he took upon himself your sin and mine. And that's why when he was on the cross, and that burden of sin was upon him, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There was a revulsion against the sin that was upon him. Your sin and mine. He took our place. He took our penalty. Oh, that is indeed redeeming love. And one thing more. And it's found there in chapter 5 and verse 5. If he's the creating Lord and the crucified Lamb, he's also the conquering Lion. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus came once in meekness. He's coming again in majesty. He came once in grace. He's coming again in glory. He came once to be a sacrifice upon a cross, our substitute. He's coming again as the sovereign, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And when he comes again, at the end of time, how will it be with each one of us? If we are here at his return, how will it be? For some, at the end of time, it will be weeping and sorrow. For some, joy and gladness. And the difference is, for those whose names are not in the Lamb's book, it will indeed be weeping and sorrow. For those whose names are indeed in the Lamb's book, it will be joy and gladness. Someone put it that for some it is a hopeless end, but for the redeemed of God, an endless hope. What a blessed and beautiful hope to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. The one who loved you, who gave himself for you. What a day that will be when Jesus we shall see. When we look upon his face, the one who saved us by his grace. When he takes us by the hand and leads us through that promised land. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. How will it be with you in that day? The hopeless end or the endless hope? To be with him in glory and in his presence forevermore. He's the creating Lord who formed and fashioned our human frame. He's the crucified Lamb who gave himself for us. And he's the conquering Lion who's coming again at the end of time. A wonderful, wonderful Savior. Do you know him as your Savior tonight? Your name is either in that book or it's not. It's not one of those things you can be half in and half out. You're either in or you're out. Your name is in it or it's not. It's a clear-cut thing. And it's one of those things where you can sometimes maybe call other people, or people can be deceived and think. But the Bible says there, again in Revelation chapter 5, that he's the one who has seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Seven in the Bible is the number of perfection, and the eye speaks of seeing. And there's one thing about the Lord, he sees all about us. There's nothing hidden from him. Perfect in his knowledge and his seeing. Sometimes people think that, well, I did this, I did that, but no one knows. And I thought this, and that's my hope, but no one knows but me. But it may be that nobody else knows here on earth. Maybe not even people in the same house. But there's nothing hidden from God. He sees your heart. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts, the feelings, the aspirations, everything about you that you've ever done. There's nothing hidden from him. And he knows how you stand tonight. I hope that as we think of the Savior, as we lift him up even here at the close of this service, that if you haven't yet come to him, you'll be drawn to him. And you'll believe on him. And receive him. And receive the blessings that he has planned for you. The gift of salvation. And that privilege to reign with him. And to be with him. Even forevermore. It's just a step of faith. Let's sing our closing hymn. And it's the hymn, "What a Wonderful Change in My Life Has Been Wrought. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have light in my soul for which long I had sought. Since Jesus came into my heart." Heaven, we thank thee for this time of worship and fellowship in thy house tonight. We thank thee for the privilege of being here and of meeting with thee before thy throne of grace and around thy word. We pray indeed, O Lord, that thou wouldst bless all that we've heard tonight, both from the scriptures, from the words of the hymns, and through the preaching of the word. Write it upon our hearts, And may we indeed be blessed through it by thy Spirit. May thine own people have their faith deepened. May their relationship with you be strengthened. And we pray indeed, O Lord, that any who know not Christ tonight might just reach out and touch the Lord and receive his salvation. For he indeed is here in our midst. He is a wonderful Savior. Bless us as we separate and go our different ways. Bless those who remain for a time of fellowship after the service. And be with each one, now and forevermore. Amen.